Apogee secures $1.3 billion from Blackstone as alternative capital reshapes biotech financing. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemines AI Hyde. And number 9,650, Apogee Therapeutics secured up to $1.3 billion in non-dilutive financing from Blackstone Life Sciences without issuing equity, structured as a synthetic royalty deal tied to clinical milestones and future sales of zumilokibart. The deal provides $400 million pre-FDA approval in staged tranches, $100 million at signing, $100 million at Phase 3 enrollment completion, $200 million at positive Phase 3 data, and another $400 million post-approval, with Blackstone receiving tiered royalties on global sales that decline to zero once annual sales exceed $8 billion. Zumilokibart demonstrated superiority in Phase 2 data released May 27, 2026, showing it could be dosed every 3 to 6 months compared to existing IL-13 blockers like Leo Pharma and #X27, S. Adbry and Eli Lilly and #X27, S. Ebegelis that require 2 to 4 week injection intervals. Apogee Therapeutics just secured up to $1.3 billion in non-dilutive financing from Blackstone Life Sciences without surrendering a single share of equity, a structural innovation that could reshape how pre-revenue biotechs fund pivotal trials and commercialization. The synthetic royalty deal, tied to clinical milestones and future sales of lead candidate zumilokibart and atopic dermatitis, signals that alternative capital structures are no longer niche plays for distressed assets but strategic tools for high-conviction assets with blockbuster potential. The deal mechanics are instructive. $400 million flows before regulatory approval, staged across signing, $100 million, Phase 3 enrollment completion, $100 million, and positive Phase 3 data readout, $200 million. Another $400 million unlocks post-FDA approval. In exchange, Blackstone receives tiered synthetic royalties on global sales that decline as revenue scales, dropping to zero once annual sales exceed $8 billion. The parties also agreed to negotiate up to $500 million in debt financing, building a capital stack that CEO Michael Henderson claims eliminates future equity dilution risk through commercial launch across 3 indications: atopic dermatitis, asthma, and eosinophilic esophagitis. Henderson framed the transaction as a path to profitability without tapping equity markets. With today's data and the bespoke capital facility provided by Blackstone, we believe Apogee has a path to commercialization and profitability. That confidence rests on 16-week Phase 2 induction data released May 27, 2026, showing zumilokibart met primary and secondary endpoints with high statistical significance in moderate to severe atopic dermatitis, with a safety profile consistent with other IL-13 blocking antibodies. The deal structure matters because it inverts the traditional venture capital bargain. Apogee monetizes future cash flows without surrendering board control or ownership, while Blackstone underwrites clinical risk in exchange for asymmetric upside if zumilokibart reaches the $8 billion revenue threshold where royalties cease. For private equity-backed life sciences investors, this is a template worth studying. It suggests that assets with clear-cut endpoints, validated mechanisms of action, and large addressable markets can command non-dilutive capital on terms that would have been unthinkable a decade ago. The IL-13 durability advantage zumilokibart's competitive edge hinges on dosing frequency. Existing IL-13 blockers like Leo Pharma's Adbry and Eli Lilly's Ebegelis require injections every 2 to 4 weeks. Sanofi and Regeneron's Dupixent, which blocks both IL-13 and IL-4, follows the same 2-week cadence. Galderma's Nemluvio, targeting IL-31, doses every 4 weeks. All are monoclonal antibodies designed to counteract inflammation in atopic dermatitis, a chronic skin disorder driven by IL-13 signaling. Apogee's long-acting antibody architecture changes the equation. In a 52-week Phase 2 maintenance trial, zumilokibart delivered deep clinical responses at 3-month and 6-month dosing intervals, a durability profile Henderson says could position it as the first product in any dermatological indication to offer the option for every 3- and 6-month dosing. The May 27, 2026 induction data validated that the middle dose, selected for Phase 3, showed similar efficacy to the high dose while maintaining tolerability. The low dose showed relatively lower clinical activity, as expected. From an institutional capital perspective, the dosing differential translates to a potential market share wedge. Compliance rates for chronic therapies drop precipitously with injection frequency. If Apogee can demonstrate in Phase 3 that 6-month dosing sustains remission rates comparable to 2-week regimens, payers will face pressure to preference zumilokibart despite likely premium pricing. The addressable patient population for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis runs into the millions globally, with Dupixent alone generating multi-billion-dollar annual sales. Apogee's existing $1.3 billion cash position before the Blackstone deal, now effectively doubled, gives it runway to execute across all three priority indications without the capital constraints that typically force biotechs into suboptimal partnerships or premature exits. Why Blackstone writes this check? Blackstone Life Sciences has built a portfolio around late-stage assets with binary outcomes and transparent value inflection points. The Apogee structure is classic risk-adjusted return optimization. Blackstone's exposure scales with clinical and commercial success, but the royalty waterfall caps downside through the tiered structure. If sumilokibart fails in phase 3, Blackstone's pre-approval capital remains at risk, but the $400 million post-approval tranche never deploys. If the drug succeeds modestly, mid-single-digit royalties on $1 billion to $2 billion in annual sales generate attractive IRRs. If sumilokibart becomes a Dupixent-class franchise, Blackstone captures high teens or low 20s royalties on the first $8 billion in cumulative sales before the rate drops to zero. The zero royalty threshold at $8 billion in annual revenue is the tell. Blackstone is underwriting the asset as a potential mega blockbuster but structuring the deal so Apogee retains full economics at scale. This aligns incentives. Apogee maximizes long-term value without the overhang of perpetual royalty obligations, while Blackstone locks in returns tied to early commercial success. It also reflects Blackstone's conviction that the IL-13 mechanism in dermatology, asthma, and eosinophilic esophagitis represents a validated path with manageable regulatory risk. The debt component, up to $500 million subject to negotiation, adds flexibility. If sumilokibart reaches market and early sales trajectories validate the asset, Apogee can tap cheaper debt capital to fund expansion or next-generation pipeline candidates, further extending cash runway without touching equity. For private equity firms evaluating life sciences platforms, the Apogee-Blackstone deal is a case study in how to layer capital efficiently. Equity for discovery and early development, royalty financing for late-stage trials and initial commercialization, and debt for post-launch growth. The FDA's parallel play in rare disease. The same week Apogee announced its Blackstone deal, the FDA approved Hepcludex, bulevirtide GMod, injection for chronic hepatitis delta virus, HDV, infection in adults without cirrhosis or with compensated cirrhosis, marking the first FDA-approved treatment for a disease that can cause rapid liver fibrosis, liver cancer, and death. The approval, disclosed May 22, 2026, underscores the agency's willingness to greenlight first-in-class therapies based on surrogate endpoints and relatively small trial populations when addressing high unmet need. In the pivotal MER-301 trial, 48% of Hepcludex-treated patients achieved combined response at week 48, compared to 2% in the delayed treatment arm. Undetectable HDV RNA rates climbed from 20% at week 48 to 50% by week 144 in the treatment group. The dose of 8.5 mg once daily for 144 weeks aligns with chronic therapy paradigms similar to those Apogee aims to disrupt with less frequent dosing. The Hepcludex approval matters for the Apogee thesis because it demonstrates that the FDA will support long-duration trials, accept stepwise efficacy improvements over extended periods, and approve drugs based on viral suppression and biomarker normalization even when long-term outcomes data remain incomplete. Apogee's phase 3 trial in atopic dermatitis, expected to begin in the second half of 2026, will likely follow a similar multi-year enrollment and follow-up structure. If the FDA's HDV precedent holds, Apogee could secure approval based on skin clearance and patient-reported outcomes without waiting for decades-long safety follow-up. The stem cell comparator also on May 27, 2026, STAT reported results from a small trial of BioVat, a biological ventricular assist tissue patch engineered from induced pluripotent stem cells, which thicken heart walls and improved pumping ability in heart failure patients. The trial positions BioVat as a bridge to transplant or left ventricular assist device implantation, addressing a market where wait times are long and alternatives are limited. The BioVat development trajectory mirrors the capital intensity challenge Apogee now sidesteps. Cell therapy and regenerative medicine platforms typically burn hundreds of millions in development costs before reaching pivotal trials, forcing repeated dilutive equity raises or strategic partnerships that extract punitive economics. The STAT article does not disclose BioVat's funding structure, but the parallel is instructive. Both sumilokibart and BioVat target chronic, high-burden conditions with large patient populations and limited durable treatment options. Both require multi-year trials with complex endpoints. The difference is that Apogee locked in $1.3 billion in non-dilutive capital before pivotal trial initiation, preserving optionality and control. BioVat's sponsor will likely face dilutive financing rounds or partnering constraints unless it replicates a similar royalty structure. For institutional allocators, the question is whether the Apogee Blackstone template becomes repeatable. If so, late-stage biotech investing shifts from equity-heavy venture models to hybrid structures resembling infrastructure finance, predictable cash flows, binary but transparent risks, and returns tied to operational milestones rather than valuation arbitrage. Key deal terms: $400 million pre-approval in three tranches, signing, phase 3 enrollment, positive data, $400 million post-approval, up to $500 million debt financing, tiered synthetic royalties declining to zero above $8 billion annual sales. The Plaquemines view this deal as a harbinger. Blackstone's willingness to deploy $1.3 billion against a single late-stage asset without equity upside signals that non-dilutive capital has matured from niche opportunistic financing to strategic growth capital. The structure rewards Apogee's disciplined clinical execution and validates that biotechs with line of sight to blockbuster potential can preserve founder and investor ownership while funding pivotal trials and commercialization. We see three implications. First, expect proliferation. Private equity firms and specialized life sciences credit funds will replicate this template, targeting late phase 2 and phase 3 assets with validated mechanisms, large markets, and clear differentiation. The royalty plus debt hybrid allows capital providers to ladder risk while biotechs avoid the equity dilution that crushes early investor returns. Second, this reshapes mergers and acquisitions. Strategic acquirers historically captured biotechs at the phase 3 inflection point because management teams lacked capital to fund trials and launch infrastructure. Apogee now has the resources to commercialize independently, raising the floor price for any takeout bid and shifting leverage to management. Third, the zero royalty threshold at $8 billion is a bet on the ceiling, not the floor. Blackstone is underwriting a scenario where zumilokibart becomes a franchise asset across multiple indications, not a niche dermatology drug. If that thesis holds, Apogee retains the long tail of value creation, and Blackstone earns outsized returns on the first wave of sales. Both parties win, but only if execution delivers. The comparison to Hepcludex is deliberate. The FDA's approval of a first-in-class chronic therapy based on 144-week data sets a precedent for Apogee's multi-year phase 3 program. If zumilokibart meets endpoints and sustains responses at 6-month dosing, the regulatory path is clear. The agency has demonstrated comfort with surrogate markers and stepwise efficacy improvements in chronic inflammatory conditions. That de-risks Blackstone's capital and accelerates Apogee's timeline to revenue. Our call: Apogee executes through phase 3 and reaches market by late 2028 or early 2029. Zumilokibart captures mid-teens market share in atopic dermatitis within 3 years of launch based on dosing convenience and payer preference for reduced administration burden. The asthma and eosinophilic esophagitis indications add incremental revenue but remain secondary to the dermatology franchise. By 2032, zumilokibart generates $3 billion to $5 billion in annual sales, triggering mid-tier royalty payments to Blackstone and positioning Apogee as either an independent commercial entity or a strategic acquisition target at a valuation north of $20 billion. Henderson's claim that the company can reach profitability without future equity raises is credible if phase 3 succeeds and launch execution follows the Dupixent playbook. The bottom line: Apogee Therapeutics and Blackstone Life Sciences just validated a new financing archetype for late-stage biotechs, non-dilutive capital at scale, staged around clinical milestones, with economics that align long-term value creation. The $1.3 billion royalty deal funds zumilokibart's pivotal trial in atopic dermatitis, potential commercialization across three indications, and eliminates the equity dilution that typically punishes early investors and management teams. For institutional allocators, this is the template. For strategic acquirers, the calculus just changed. Biotechs with conviction assets and validated mechanisms no longer need to sell early or partner on punitive terms. They can finance through pivotal trials, capture commercialization upside, and negotiate from strength. Apogee's phase 3 trial begins in the second half of 2026. If the drug delivers on its dosing promise, the IL-13 market just got more competitive, and the biotech capital playbook just got a new chapter. Watch the enrollment completion milestone in 2027. That's when Blackstone writes the second check and when the market will price in the probability of success.